If you actually ask people to do something and communicate the value of why they should, they'll do it.
Hey, podcast listener. You're about to discover insider tips, tricks, and secrets to making more sales and converting more prospects into customers with email marketing. For more information about the Email Marketing Podcast or the Autoresponder Guy, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Hey everybody, it's John McIntyre here, the Autoresponder Guy, and it's time for episode 5 of the Email Marketing Podcast, where we talk about the top tips, tricks, and secrets for making more sales and growing your revenue with email marketing. It's episode 5, and today I'll be talking to Colin Nettikorn, the CEO of a small company called Customer.io. Customer.io helps online businesses better connect with their customers by using the data they have about them. Things like what products customers have purchased and what pages they've visited on the site and more. It's very valuable stuff. Now, in this episode, you'll find out why relevance is the name of the game in 2013 when it comes to email marketing and how to start writing better emails, because if you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance that whatever you're sending right now isn't working. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to it. So stay tuned for that. To get the show notes for this episode of the Email Marketing Podcast, go to dropdeadcopy.com/EP5. Now, before we get into that, let's talk news. The Email Marketing Podcast has 4 new iTunes reviews, and I'm going to read you one of them right now. Ryan McLean from Australia says, "I've been waiting for a podcast like this for years. I have good traffic, a sizable list, but no one has been teaching me how to market effectively to my list. 5 stars because this is a stellar niche-specific content that will grow my business and yours. Good audio quality and even better content." Thank you, Ryan, for that. Ryan's website, you can check that out at cashflowinvestor.com.au. Now, if you want a shot of fame, and yes, if you put your link in the iTunes review, I will read it out on this show, okay? And everyone's going to hear it. So first, listen to this episode. Second, if you enjoyed it, go to dropdeadcopy.com, click on the iTunes link, add your review in iTunes, and I'm going to read out 1 5-star review each week on the show, and yours could be next, and I'm going to read out your link. So hundreds, thousands of people are going to hear your website. And enough of that, let's go talk to Colin Nettikorn, the CEO of Customer.io. It's John McIntyre here, the Autoresponder Guy. I'm here with Colin Nettikorn, the founder of Customer.io, a special app that software as a service companies can use to send their customers emails based on how they use their apps. How are you doing today, Colin?
I'm doing really well, John. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks for coming on. Now, let's start with just a little quick background on who are you, you know, and what do you do?
Cool. Yeah. So I'm the CEO of Customer.io. We're a really, really small email company. And we're about 3 people now in New York. And we, as you said, we help online businesses better connect with their customers by using the data that they have about them. You know, the things they purchase, the pages they visit, you can use that information to send them more targeted emails so they're more relevant and more timely. And ideally, you can build better relationships with those people through the emails that you send, because you're sending them the right emails at the right time.
So the basic idea is just to get real specific. If someone signs up and say they visit, say they haven't visited their profile page yet and you want them to set up a profile, you can set up an automatic email to go out 3 days after they sign up and say, "Hey man, you haven't set up your profile. Here's a link. Go and set it up. Put a photo in." That type of thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and a lot of times what you see when people are doing this in an unsophisticated or dumb way is they'll still send that email 3 days later, but there will be like 5 things they want you to do, and you may or may not have done them. Mm. And they just kind of blindly send the email regardless of what you've done on the site.
Oh, okay. Just like a random... like you might have already done all those things, or you might not have. It's kind of like hit or miss. Okay, that's interesting. So, I guess in a nutshell, like what's the big message or the big idea behind Customer.io? What's it all about?
I think we're all about sending your customers or your prospective customers better emails and building relationships with people over time. And you know, ideally through that, you'll get more people from free to paid. You know, if you're a business that has that's like an e-commerce store, you'll get more people buying again. One of our customers ran a thing where they have their product is ideal for gifts. So people either buy it for themselves or they buy it as a gift. And they used Customer.io to target the people who had purchased as a gift, and they offered them, hey, why don't you buy this for yourself now? And they did the inverse of that. People who had bought it for themselves, they said, hey, why don't you go and buy this as a gift? And they got a great conversion from that. And it was around the holidays last year. And, you know, a bunch of people ended up buying who hadn't visited the site in 3 months, 4 months. But they ended up buying that product as a gift for someone or for themselves.
Okay. Well, it sounds like one of the, to me, like one of the most important things that's going on here is this issue of like targeting and relevancy. So, you know, the average person, like you said, if they do this in a bad way or in a very amateur, unsophisticated way, they're going to send out an email with 5 different actions on it that the user or customer may or may not have done because they haven't got software to figure that stuff out. But if they use, say, a software like customer.io or something else, they're going to be able to send extremely specific emails, which is just going to increase the conversion rate because it's going to match exactly, you know, who that person is. Rather than just kind of throwing stuff out there and hoping that it's relevant, you know that it's 100% relevant. And that's, I think that's a really important lesson that, like, for email and for all kind of marketing, is that the more relevancy, so, you know, you can have with someone, the better the conversion rate's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think the I did a survey really, really early on in my list, and I asked people, what's your biggest fear with writing emails?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, people said a bunch of different things, but a lot of it distilled down into that word relevance. And, you know, they people are concerned about not being relevant to the recipient. And that generally happens if you're doing a big blast to your entire list asking for something, but you're really trying to reach very specific people. You know that most of the people aren't going to find the content relevant. So yeah, I mean, I think we want to help businesses use the data that they have to write more relevant emails.
So it's kind of like, if you think about it, you got 10,000 people on a list. If you send these email blasts that some people call them, you're going to have 9,000 or even 900,900 people who just don't even care about what's in that email because there's just no targeting to it. So what we can do with this is send 100 people out of those 10,000 the same email, but it's all relevant to exactly what they did based on the software.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so like, when it comes to where do people get, like, when people get caught up, when people are signing up to customer.io or emailing support with questions on how to do their email, what are some of the big problems that you see pop up again and again?
So usually, I mean, I think there's very specific problems, but in general, the thing that kind of burns people, most people early on when they start writing emails for their job, is that they don't read them from the point of view of the recipient. They write the email in terms of what the business goals are. So they'll say, we go and do this thing, but there's no value in the person doing it. So the emails read as though, it's, you're just telling me something that I should do, but you don't give me the incentive for me to do it. You don't communicate the value to me as the reader. So a lot of that's, a lot of the don't do this stuff rules break down into, like, how can I make this email more usable for the recipient? And that can be stuff like the from address. If you're, let's say you're the marketing person at a company, and the person signs up on your list, but they've never received an email from you and they don't recognize your name, you should put your company name in the from address and or the subject line so that they know that, they can immediately see, oh, that's the company I just signed up with. So there's, like, really subtle things like that make the emails you send a lot easier for someone to consume and understand and get value from. Okay. And people often make those mistakes initially from, I think it's like both a lack of knowledge and experience and also empathy for the recipient.
With the from name, do you find that a company name in there works better than a personal name or both?
The strategy that we use and the one that I personally like is your first name from some company name. You know, like for you, I think that if people recognize John McIntyre in their inbox, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. And hopefully they don't know too many John McIntyres, and you're going to stand out to them. I think the other approach that you could take is you could be John the autoresponder guy, and that's your from address.
Yeah.
And I'd say that the downside with that is if you're the sole business owner and you're trying to build a strong personal relationship with someone, having the company name in there still kind of in the back of their mind, they're like, oh, this is some business email. So yeah, sticking to the personal stuff, if it's just you and you're really trying to establish a personal relationship, I think that's good. But otherwise, if they're really signing up with a company, not with you, then having the company name, you know, Colin from Customer.io, or you know, John from Drop Dead Copy.
Right. Okay. You just touched on something a couple minutes ago about, like, it is a very basic thing when it comes to copywriting, is reason why copy. I can't remember who kind of coined that phrase, but the idea is that if, you know, if you're emailing someone and you're saying, you know, go to our site, log in and do this, take this action, you got to tell them why. They're going to think, well, why the hell am I going to go and do that? So what? And this is a really easy way to think about it, is, you know, for anyone listening, is that when they're writing an email, they can sit down and when they, you know, figure out whatever action they want someone to take, or what they want them to do, go buy something or click on something or sign up, whatever, and then just think, well, here are five reasons why you want to do it. It triggers that whole, like, what's in it for me thing.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, the other mistake people make is they put the action as the first thing in the email, and then they try to put all of the reasons why underneath. And I think if you know the AIDA structure, action or attention, interest, desire, action, you don't want to put the action before you've built up the desire to take it. So giving them all of the reasons why they want to do that thing before you ask them to do it generally yields better success. But I think it stems from, like, people thinking about, oh, it's got to be above the fold. I think that's why people put it as the first thing in the first link or the first button or whatever in the email. But a lot of times I'll see emails that have 10 things they want you to do, and it's all above the fold. And I suggest to people that they don't do that.
Right. I mean, yeah. A couple months ago, I had a blog post on Drop Dead Copy, and it was basically why you shouldn't. It was like why you shouldn't put your opt-in above the fold. Because we got this, like, traditional marketing advice that has to go above the fold. But what's more important is, like, we've been talking about, is about empathy and really being relevant. And to be relevant, you can't just, like, throw someone an action and say, do this. You got to meet them where they're at in their current kind of mindset and then lead them towards that action.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Okay, and you mentioned before, you know, before we started recording, that you had had some great ideas on how to do content for email. Because I think a lot of people struggle when they think about, you know, I'm going to go and write an autoresponder, or I'm going to write, you know, emails for my business, but I don't know what to write about. So obviously, if you want someone to do something, you know, you figure out the action, you're going to write down the reasons why they, you know, they should do it. But if you just want to keep building that relationship with people, what sort of content do you think that people should be sending their customers and subscribers?
Yeah, so we have it pretty easy, because we're an email product. So the content that I create is about how to write emails. So we have a pretty easy way to do that. But I've talked with businesses who, you know, they do things like online photo printing, or like here's an example for you. Let's say you're a wedding photographer. I think a lot of decisions like hiring a wedding photographer are decisions that are like, that you only make once, and you generally look around or you take a personal recommendation. The opportunity there for content is getting advice on how to make that decision. So, you know, if I'm a wedding photographer, the first thing I would want to do is set up an autoresponder course about how to pick a wedding photographer. What are the things that I need to look for before deciding to pay someone? What are the price ranges I should expect? You know, basically educating me about how to make a better decision. Which, if you're selling your services, that builds trust, which is phenomenal. It also educates your customers so that they're going to actually be a better customer for you, and they won't have to ask you all of these really basic questions. Mm. They'll have that understanding. But I think the key thing is, whether or not they go with you or not, anyone else who's facing that decision in the future, they'll recommend your course to them, and, you know, you'll probably get some referral business that way. So I think, like, any business where there's a decision that someone has to make, and it's a high regret decision, or like it's a decision that they make without sort of fully understanding it, you know, doing a course on that educates them about, like, the things that they need to know is a really, really easy win. And the trap that most people fall into is, when you're a business owner, you're an expert, and you kind of assume that there's nothing that your customers don't know. Most of the time, they know nothing, and you can write content to educate them about the business. And even if it's stuff that they know a little bit or they've heard before, hearing things that you already know and agree with is really reassuring. Mm. So yeah, I think like creating content around your business that educates people and, you know, helps them make a better buying decision is the easiest win for you.
That's really good advice. I was reading something recently about, you know, content for emails, and it often varies depending on the business. With, it's like an information business, you don't want to give away too much information because then they're not going to buy the product. Mm-hmm. You know, when you, let's say you're selling supplements, you can tell them all day about, you know, the ingredients and the benefits and all that, because no one's going to go out and make their own supplement like that.
Right.
So there's kind of like, yeah, so it's very different depending on how it works. But I love this idea of like Joe Polish talks about it in I Love Marketing, this consumer buying guide. So they, you know, mm-hmm. they sign up to your thing and you basically educate them on how to buy. And mm-hmm. That's relevant pretty much anywhere, pretty much in any kind of buying business area. That's going to help people.
Yeah.
Now, I thought an interesting question is, I'm sure that you've got a whole bunch of customers and a whole bunch of stats on email. Do you have any interesting takeaways or anything interesting that you've learned from having, you know, all this data?
I mean, I think anecdotally, most people do it pretty poorly. And, you know, part of that is the tools that exist out there. And hopefully we're going to change that over time. And we're already changing that. I think that the other thing is that there are a bunch of really easy wins. And there's not a lot of information out there about what those easy wins are. And I'm trying to, so one of the things I'm trying to do is observe to see what the best companies do and share that information with our customers. And one of the things that I caught on to really quickly after seeing a few companies do it is if you're a SaaS product and primarily like a B2B software as a service company, one of the most effective emails that you can send is something like 30 minutes after someone signs up, a really short personal message from the CEO that says, "Hi, you know, I'm Colin, I'm the CEO of Customer.io. Thanks so much for signing up. I just wanted to reach out to see if you needed any help. Thanks." And surprisingly, like this email is phenomenal, because if someone actually does need help, they reply to that and they ask for it. So they've had 30 minutes in the product, and, you know, maybe they got stuck or maybe they abandoned it and never got started. But, you know, you've reached out to them 30 minutes in, and they know that even if they're like, "Oh, this is automatic," they at least think you care. You care enough to have set up that automatic email. And they now have an email to respond to rather than having to search for like a support address on your website or another way to contact you. And so we've recommended this to, we do this, and we've recommended it to a ton of our customers. And I think we are getting a 15 to 20% response rate on it, and where people actually reply to the email. And other folks have reported to me like 25% and higher of the people who get the email respond to it.
Okay. Do you ever find that it's hard to deal with these emails if they're going, I mean, the CEO is tending to be pretty busy. I'm sure you're busy. How do you deal with like these kind of support requests to your own email address?
Oh, so I set up colin.n@customer.io, which goes to our customer support app. And I handle them in there, or if I'm in a meeting or really busy and there's something urgent, then someone else on the team will sort of apologize that I'm not answering and then do the reply.
Okay. So it's kind of like segmented and split up there. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the way you scale that in my mind, and I'm hopefully going to be trying this soon, is that rather than the email coming from me, it comes from, you know, someone on our support team, like the director of customer happiness or something like that.
Okay. So that being an easy win, do you have any other examples of easy wins that businesses can have?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reaching out towards the end of a free trial to encourage people to buy. A lot of times during a free trial situation, it might be 30 days or something like that. People don't reach out during that time. They assume that the person just wants to be left alone during a free trial. But having a series of emails that map to that, and then asking for the sale right at the end or towards the end, probably in the last 5 days, you know, asking people to put down a credit card and upgrade the product is, you know, is a great way to get people to do that. Surprisingly, if you actually ask people to do something and communicate the value of why they should, they'll do it. Not everyone will do it, but enough people will do it.
Right. That's really cool. So we're just coming up to time right now. So let's finish up. Is customer.io, is this just for software as a service companies, or is this for anyone? Or who specifically is customer.io for?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're very focused on businesses where someone creates an account. So they sign up for a product or a service online, and they're creating an account. They've got a username and password. We're pretty focused on those types of businesses. That said, we're building our product on top of an API, and we want to have it like a really, really sophisticated mailing platform. So we have people who don't have products, who are just dealing with people where they have the email address. We have people like that using the product. But it's sort of, I'd say, if you're a little more technical, then give us a shot. But otherwise, if you really want like an out-of-the-box product that, you know, that'll do it for you, we're probably not that yet.
Okay, cool. So that's all at customer.io. That's your website, correct?
Yeah, and the thing that I would encourage folks here to do is to sign up for our weekly newsletter, which is at, if you just go to customer.io and click on the big link at the top that says write better emails, or I think it's, yeah, write better emails.
Yep.
Then, you know, you can sign up for the list, and you'll get one hopefully really valuable email from me every week.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll have a link to all this stuff down in the show notes for anyone who's looking for that. So before we sign off, do you have any final words of wisdom?
Let's see if I can dig something up. Yeah, I mean, I think my final word of wisdom is when people decide to buy from you, they make that decision in lines, not dots. So if you just send them one email, don't expect them to buy off of that, or if they just have one interaction with you. I think you've really got to think about how do you build a relationship with them? What are the touch points they have with your business so that they feel comfortable enough to buy? And you know, there's this thing in sales where it's really like, in order to sell a product, you've got to follow up with people. And the salespeople that are really successful are the ones that are persistent. And I think you can do that in a lower touch, non-naggy way with email and marketing. But I think the key is you've got to know that you're giving people value and try to create that line, not a bunch of like dots that are all over the place.
I love that idea. All right. Well, I feel like we can continue talking about this for hours. So, how about we wrap it up here? Thank you for coming on, Colin. This has been super helpful.
Thanks, John. I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Bye.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening. If you want to discover more insider tips, tricks, and secrets about driving sales with email marketing, sign up for daily email tips from the Autoresponder Guy. Go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Sign up, confirm your email address, and I'll send you daily emails on how to improve your email marketing and make more sales via email. You'll find out why open rates don't matter, and the 7-letter word that underlies all effective marketing, and much more.